lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 108, stanzas 6 and 7. O Lord my God, how manifold the works which thou hast wrought. Oft-times thou hast bestowed on us thy care and gracious thought. 6 and 7 of Psalter 108.
Portion of God's Word that we wish to read together in this afternoon, you can find recorded in the Gospel according to John, and are of the sixth chapter. John chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set out, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over, and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even he was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one wherein his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty Creator of the heavens and of the earth, but also the Provider and the Sustainer thereof, we are called in this day set aside by mankind, for which we may yet acknowledge Thee, and that it is still in the midst of the countries in which we live, and that there is even a little outward semblance of an acknowledgement of Thee, but it is so much easier for us to have a prayer day than for us to have a day of thanksgiving for the needs. They are always felt and multiplying, but the thanks that does not live in our hearts. And then we must confess to Thee and that it is our own fault, for Thou hast not made us in such a way, but that Thou hast made us for that reason, for that purpose, for that end, that we may acknowledge Thee. Thou hast made us good and upright, and Thou hast filled our lives with goodness and sustenance. In our blessed and high creation, Thou hast given that man may labor in the way of obedience to Thee, and that he may acknowledge Thee in truth. But Lord, it was only but a short time, and what have we done with it all? We have chosen the side of the tempter. We have listened unto the prince of darkness. We have departed from our Creator and from our benefactor. And we must acknowledge that it is still that bent of our hearts. It is that evil disposition which lives within us each and every day. So we go over this world, not as we were created, but born as sons and daughters of fallen Adam, so that we have no acknowledgement of Thee. And then in the world there is so much actual outward denial of Thee. O Lord, could it please Thee to turn us yet again from such a way in which the sin of our hearts that is coming out more and more, so that the world sinks itself as a Sodom and as a Gomorrah into that eternal pit, and Thou still givest unto us and our children that we may gather round about Thy word of truth, and that we may be given to instruct our arising generation of Thee, the true and the living God. Oh, could it please Thee, Lord of heaven and earth, to bless also that instruction for our children, and when we may bring them at our sides in this day, when we may lead them by their hands and bring them up upon this weekday unto Thy house of prayer, and that we may say unto them, children, that it is because the Lord is so good, and not unto a people that have obeyed Him, but unto a people who are so disobedient. Oh, Thou hast Thyself given the occasion that Thy long suffering may be magnified. Oh, that we may be given with our children to see it and to feel it, that it may break our hard and stony hearts, and that we may be brought into the dust of self-abasement before Thee, and that Thou wouldst indeed yet receive all the honor and all the glory. Humble us because of our sins. Show unto us what they are, and wilt Thou give us to become ashamed of ourselves, that we may be brought into the dust of self-abasement before Thee, confessing and smiting upon our breasts. O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And then Thou art acknowledged in truth. O give it unto us, give it unto our rulers also, and all those that receive that high place from Thee in the government of this world, in the nations in which we live. Wilt Thou grant that also there, there may be a bowing before Thee, an acknowledging of Thee, a turning unto Thee, and in obedience to Thy law, to Thy testimonies. O Lord, then it seems to us as even to be so impossible that it is vain even to ask it. But Lord, Thou art God, and Thou art almighty, and Thou art over everything, and all the hearts of men are in Thy hands, and Thou turnest them whithersoever that Thou wilt. Look on us and our children, upon whom that the ends of the world are come, and that Thou wouldst yet spare this world and the nations in which we live, and yet a little while, that our children, that our grandchildren, who have been born and who are now living in this evil place, oh, that they may be given that grace from above, and that they may be given that life that only comes from Thee. Oh, give them to bow their knees in a day of grace and in a time of salvation. Humble us under gifts received, food, drink, prosperity in so many ways. And watch over us also in the times in which we are living, and when disease does spread itself over the world, and when the rising numbers are coming closer also unto us. Oh, give us, wilt Thou spare us yet, O Lord, from danger and from all things that can come against our life. For there are also other things from which we must be protected. And then we think in a special way of those that mourn. Wilt Thou remember them? And when they must stand by an open grave, wilt Thou be near and dear unto them? And wilt Thou also visit them, not only with comfort for this life, but with that earnestness of Thy Spirit, as so that man may be brought to seek Thee while Thou art to be found? And we lay before Thee also once again, her in a special way, that will in the next few days be receiving tests for the disease that is in her body. O Lord, we beseech Thee, for then there is no disease over which Thou dost not have power. And then they hope to use the way of the means that Thou dost give. O, we ask of Thee, Lord, that Thou may also grant Thy blessing. Oh, then she is yet in the midst of her years, as she has children, grandchildren. And Lord, could it please Thee yet to spare her life? And wilt Thou bless whatever may be done? And could it please Thee to give a place by Thee for her, for her husband, and for her children, and for her grandchildren? All Thou dost say, and the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But what can we say unto Thee, O Lord? And then we are but sinful creatures, but may Thy mercy yet prevail. Look upon all the afflicted and all the sick ones, for there is much mourning in the world in which we do live. Oh, that Thou may comfort all that mourn, and when they cannot understand or see in this day how to give thanks to Thee for all the wretchedness and misery which they must experience. Oh, yet when man
and may be brought into a place of true humility. And then we will come in the place of Job to say that the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wilt thou be with us in this hour? Lord, we come unto thy house. We bring our gifts before thee to pay the vows which we have made. But oh, then we beseech of thee that thou wouldst also give a place for thy word. Give us strength, give us clarity. Grant us the unction of thy Holy Spirit, and that it may go from pew to pew, that it might move us, that our hearts may be moved, and that we may be made alive, and that we may be brought to acknowledge thee in truth. Forgive and take away all of our many, many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 259, stanzas 1 and 4. Sing to the Lord, sing his praise, all ye peoples. New be your song, as new honors ye pay. Sing of his majesty, bless him forever. Show his salvation from day to day. The first and the fourth of Psalter 259. Congregation, the words of our text can be found in the portion read to you, John 6, and thereof the 27th verse, John 6, verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat
which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. So far the words of our text. An admonishment to labor for the gift of God. First, laboring for the gift of meat which perisheth. Second, laboring for the gift of meat which endureth. Thus, an admonishment to labor for the gift of God. First, laboring for the gift of meat which perisheth. Second, laboring for the gift of meat which endureth. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Who's speaking? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. To whom is he speaking? He is speaking to followers. He said to them, "Ye seek me." Indeed, they did seek him. They sought him yesterday already. He was on the other side of the sea. And they have heard of him and where that he was, and they came to him seeking him. That was yesterday. Today, they came again. Thus, it was 2 days in a row, boys and girls. Just like yesterday and today. You came yesterday to church, and today you come to church again. That is also what happened in those days. Then the Lord Jesus said to them, "Ye seek me." Is that not a wonder? He knows if we seek him. Is it not a wonder if it may be said indeed of us, "Ye seek me"? But the Lord Jesus does not stop there. No, he says even more. He says, "Ye seek me because." Thus, he tells them the reason that they were seeking him. We cannot look in each other's hearts. We can think that we know what is in each other's hearts, but we cannot see inside of the heart of one another. And thus we have to be careful that we do not accuse someone of something that is in their heart, because we do not know, we cannot see within their heart. That is different with the Lord Jesus. He says, "Ye seek me because." Thus, the Lord Jesus, he examines, he looks at them, but he does not look just at what they are doing outwardly, that they are coming to him in an outward way. But he looks in their heart. He can see in their heart. He knows what is living in their heart, and he examines their motives. Because what is the most important thing? Is it now that we come to God's house outwardly? That is important. That is very important. But it is possible that we come to God's house outwardly with different hearts. We know that there were people, they came to the Lord Jesus with questions. Do you have them sometimes too, children? Maybe for your mother or father, or for your teachers in school, or for your catechism instructor. Maybe you raise your hand sometimes with a question. That is good. Well, that is good sometimes. Most of the time, that is good, we think. But we know there were also people who came to the Lord Jesus, and they came to him with questions. And some of them, they came for a reason to ask him a question that was truly living in their heart. Do you have such questions? But then we read of other people, they came to the Lord Jesus and they had a desire to ask him questions for a different purpose. That was, they wanted to drive him into a corner. They wanted to make the Lord Jesus to look foolish. They came to put him in a trap. Do we try to do that to young people? If so, you come with your questions to your teachers to try to make them to look foolish in front of other people, then we come with a wrong motive. And now it is the Lord Jesus, not man, who knows the motive. He knows what is living in your heart. He knows also why that we do seek him. Why do we do come to the house of God? And then he can point to us, each one of us. And he says, you seek me because, and you seek me because, and you seek me because. And thus every one of our motives, they will be judged by the judge of all the earth. What would he say to us? You come to my house because. What did he say to those that followed him? And those that followed him, they did not give up so easy. They came the first day, they came the second day, he was not there. So they got in those boats and they went over the sea because they wanted to find him. And what did he say to them? He says, ye seek me. That is indeed true. He says, not because. Not because of what? Not because, he says, ye saw the miracles. Indeed, the Lord Jesus, he has been performing miracles. And just yesterday, he has performed a great miracle. What was that? That was on the other side of the sea. We read about it, children. 5,000 people. Great multitude of people that sought him. And they had no food there in the wilderness. And then the Lord Jesus, he fed them. He fed them 5,000 people with just 5 little loaves of barley bread and 2 little fishes. It was a miracle. That is what the Lord Jesus himself called it, a miracle. What is a miracle? Sometimes we hear that today. This happens or that happens and we say that was a miracle. Is that really so? What is a miracle? This word, the original word, miracle, that means a sign or a mark or a token. So what is a sign? If you would get a cold now, boys and girls, and if you might get a fever now with that cold, then all of a sudden somebody is going to say, well, you might be one that has COVID, right? You say, those are signs of that disease. And if you have enough of those signs, then you will say, well, perhaps it is really true. It is a sign. It is a mark. It is a token. That is the word here. A miracle that is a sign. What is a miracle a sign of? If someone can do a miracle, well, that is a sign that that person, he is possessed of a power that does not belong to a human being. It is a power that is a divine power. It is a power that is above all of the powers of the human race. Miracles, they are taking place outside of the common laws of creation that God has set. So what is a miracle? You know, children, when Elisha, when they were building in the woods, and then that axe head, that iron axe head that fell in the water. And if an iron axe head would fall in the water, where does it go? You say it goes to the bottom. That is right. Why? Because the laws of nature, you study that in science, young people, density, right? The density of that iron is much greater than the water, and it goes down to the bottom of the water always. The more dense goes down, the less dense that goes up. Those are the laws of nature. Who makes that happen? God. He has created all of those laws. And what happened when Elisha, he threw a stick in that water, and then it said the iron did swim? Thus, it was beyond the laws of nature. Who can make that happen? You say that the laws of nature, they are not working as they normally would work. Well, the Lord, he has made those laws of nature. And he can just as easy overturn those laws of nature as he has made those laws of nature. So you say that is a divine power who made all that crop to grow this year. Us? Say, no. What is necessary for that? Say, the power of God. You cannot make one blade of grass or wheat or grain to grow. You need a divine power. Is that a miracle then? Is that a miracle then that we have received all that food? You say, we cannot do it. Indeed, it is a divine power that has done it. But we don't call that a miracle. Why is it not called a miracle? Not everything that takes divine power is called a miracle. No. The things that are going contrary to the normal laws of nature that God has made, those are the things that we call miracles. So what happened here? 5,000 persons. All of those persons, normally when we say to the ladies' aid, we will have 5,000 people, and we need to feed them till they are all full. They say we need much, much food. That is according to the laws of nature. And what did the Lord Jesus do? He fed all those people with 5 little barley loaves and 2 little fishes, and there were 12 baskets of food left over. Why is that a miracle? You say it takes a divine power, yes, but it is also outside of the normal laws of nature that the Lord is working with. We should not expect miracles to take place today. And why not? Because miracles, they were, especially in those days, for a sign. A sign. They were the days of the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was here upon the earth and no man could look through that human nature to see his divine nature, except there was something, some sparks of that divinity being shown to them. And therefore, those miracles the Lord has given himself to do, his followers to do, in order that the message that the Lord had given unto that people may be fortified by miracles, that this was a divine person. It is not necessary anymore. Not for that reason, because there are also sometimes we read in the Bible that it was just out of a great need. Then the Lord, if we do not have enough, the Lord, he is able to provide also out of a great need. But especially because they were signs, and thus those signs, they are now done away. The Lord Jesus, he says, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles. What does he say? He says, not because you believe that I am God. That is the reason you ought to seek me. You ought to seek me because I am divine. You ought to seek me because I am the Son of God. But that is not why you seek me. Why do you seek me? Ye seek me because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. You seek me because you want more to eat. You seek me because you think that is very convenient, that I can just make all that food whenever I have a desire to, whenever I see the need for that. You seek me. You seek me because you want to make me an earthly king. That would be very convenient for you, because if there was a drought, and then I could just but speak, and then there will be plenty of food for everyone, and not only food, but everything. That is why that you seek me. You seek me because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. And you seek me because if you could make me a king, then you would not have to rely on all those natural laws of God anymore. Because I am above those laws. That is why you seek me. But my kingdom that is not of this world. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. What is meat which perisheth? Well, that is our food. Food perishes. You know that, children? That is why if you leave it too long and you do not eat it, then it goes bad. Then we waste it. That is why we need to eat those leftovers and not complain. Because then there are people in the world that have nothing to eat, and we leave all that food to go bad that is sinful. But meat that perishes. And the Lord Jesus does not speak just about the meat, the food, but he's speaking about everything that is in this world, because everything here below, that all is perishing. But you will say, do we not need to labor for our food? When the Lord made Adam, did not the Lord say to Adam, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work? Do we not have to work for 6 days then? Did the Lord not say to Adam that in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat thy bread? And the Lord Jesus, he says here, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Does not the apostle say that if any does not work, neither should he eat? Does not the apostle say that if any does not provide for his own, that he has denied the faith? That he is worse than an infidel? Does the Lord Jesus say something wrong then? Does the Lord Jesus say something that is against the Bible? They had the Old Testament. What does Solomon say? He says, the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Then he is condemning all the slothfulness that can be found in the world. I went by the way of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man that was void of understanding, and it was all grown over with thorns and nettles that covered the face thereof, and the stone wall that was broken down. Yet a little sleep, yet a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. The Bible and the Lord Jesus. He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth. What are we saying, young people? What are you saying when you would be asking these questions? Then you would be saying, the Bible that cannot contradict itself. Then you would be saying, that cannot really mean this. And you would be right. You would be right because the Bible is one whole from the beginning to the end. It is inspired by the Spirit of the Lord. It is the Word of God who cannot lie, who does not change his mind. From Genesis to Revelations, it is one Word of God. Therefore, there can be no contradiction from the beginning of the Bible unto the end of the Bible. Everything must fit together. As you say, that cannot mean this. That is right. Because if you will take it literally, labor not for the meat which perisheth, then you come to the wrong conclusion. Because then you are not comparing what that is in the context to the next thing that it says. And you are not comparing it with the whole Bible. That one Word of God, which is so important, that is the importance, young people, of a systematic theology. And don't let anyone in your whole life tell you that we have no creed because creeds are the work of men and we only go by the Bible. No, we need a systematic theology. Certainly, it is the Bible which we go by. But there is an interpretation of the Bible by comparing every text and every word that is in the Bible one with the other so we know the complete doctrine of the Word of God. Thus, no. Does not mean that we must not labor for our food. Did you do that this past season? Each of us has labored. No, that was not wrong. No, that was very good. That is very proper. Because if we did not, we would have no food. We would have no food. Is that right? Yes, I think you believe that. If we didn't, then we would not have any food. Why? Because that labor, that work, is a cause. It is the reason which has brought about the fact that there is plenty of food to eat. And if you had never put a shovel in the ground, and if you had never planted any wheat, and if you had never done a harvest, then there would be no food. And now one of our children will say, "Minister, it is Thanksgiving Day. It is Thanksgiving Day. What do you say? We're not here to thank ourselves, are we? Are we not here to thank the Lord? Isn't it the Lord that has given us our food?" That's good thinking, children. I'm glad if you think. Do you think? You should think, always. Because thinking is one of the things that makes you different than the animals. God has created us with a soul. And in that sense, then we are different than the animals. And what is the soul? Thinking, the ability to reason. The animals can't do that. They cannot take a problem and solve the problem like we can. Because that is part of the soul. That is the intellect and the other aspects, the affections and the will. They are all the aspects of the soul. So thinking, boys and girls, what you learn to do at school, because the fall that has brought a darkened understanding, but that thinking that is so, so important. So you say, we have a problem? Without a doubt. Then we have heard it this morning also, how that God, that is why we are here together today. That God, he has given to us all of the blessings that we have received.
He has given that seed, and he has given life in that seed. It looks like it is dead, doesn't it, boys and girls? Take your hand and you put that in there, and it's all dry. You say, it looks like it's just worth nothing. And yet you put that in the ground. A little water, a little sunshine, a little warmth. Oh, a little blessing from the Lord. And that little seed that has life in it. You say, there is no one but God that is able to make that seed to grow. So it is a gift of God. And he is the cause. But we just said that our efforts, they are also the cause. Because if we did not put it in the ground, you say, well, then it would never have grown. So we have a dilemma. We have a dilemma. We have a problem. We have two causes at the same time. We say it is a gift of God. Here's the cause. And at the same time, we say it is the effect of the labors of our hands. So what is true? How is that now possible? Well, what do you think? Could God have done it all by himself without us? We could not have done it all by ourselves, right? We could not. We can plant it all in nice rows, and we can water it, but we cannot make the sun to shine. We cannot make the rain to come. It's impossible. We could not. But could the Lord give it to us if he desired? If he desired to make that ground soft, and if he desired to by whatever way, to bring that seed all over that ground and to cover it over and make it all to grow so beautiful without man, so that that would all be ready for us and be harvested for us and be food for all of us to eat and drink. Could the Lord do that by himself? You say yes. Of course he could. What is easier? To do what we do, or to do what he does, to give life to that seed? What we do, that is nothing in comparison. You say, of course, the Lord could do it all by himself. But does he? If he did, what would it be? What would we call it? Well, you say, that would be a miracle. That is right. If he did it all by himself, then he would do it against the regular laws of nature. Then no means of man would be involved. So he could. But what has he chosen to do? He has chosen not to. He has chosen to do it a different way. May he do that? He may do that. Because he is God. So he has chosen that in order that we be fed, that he will use instruments, he will use people, and they will do their work as he commanded them 6 days. And he will feed us according to his own word, using us as instruments in his hand. Thus, he has decreed the end, what would happen, but he also decreed how it would happen. He may do that. He is God. And he says he will use the means.
things, not miracles. Thus, we have two causes. God is a cause, and man is a cause at the same time. But they are different kinds of causes. God is the first cause, and we are the second cause. God, He is the final cause. And we are the instrumental cause. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Young people, what if a man would say to you, next season, I'm not going to do any work. Next season, I'm not going to plow, and I'm not going to sow, and I'm not going to harvest. I am going instead to trust. I'm going to trust the Lord to give me food. After all, God alone is able to make me prosperous. After all, nothing depends in the end on myself. Actually, if I would go hungry, then God indeed has decreed that I will go hungry. What would you think of that man? You know, there are things that can sound so biblical that you say, that is a God-fearing man. That is a pious man. That is a man that is able just to rely on God. When, indeed, that is not piety, nor is that biblical, but it is tempting God, nor is that according to any of the commandments of the Lord. Do you know what it is doing? It is demanding that God give to us food and drink by a miracle. We want God to do it by a miracle. And we don't want God to give it to us through the regular means that God has given unto us. Thus, when such a person will say, I'm only going to trust, then we must ask him, what are you going to trust? Who are you going to trust? Well, he says, I'm going to trust the Lord. Has the Lord promised, then, to bless your sloth? Or has the Lord promised or connected his blessing to the use of means on prayer day? When we come to the house of the Lord, then what do we ask for? Do we ask the Lord to bless our sloth? No. We ask the Lord to bless the labors of our hands. That is the same thing. With the protection from that disease that is all around us. The Lord, He has chosen to protect through the use of the means. Not by miracles. No, actually, when you read the devil, he took the Lord Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. And he said, now cast yourself down from here. Why? He said, trust, just trust. Trust in your Father, he said. Use the word of God. That sounds to be very biblical. And the devil, he can sound that way.
And the Lord Jesus said, no, no. Indeed, had there been no stairs, and he could not come down, would his father have taken care of him? Oh, then the angels, you can be sure, boys and girls, they would have cared for him. But there were stairs. And thus, the Lord Jesus, he said to the devil, thou shalt not tempt. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when we do not use the lawful means, then we are tempting the Lord. Thus, that true piety and that godliness that is to use the means that he has given, and then we are looking up to him, not trusting in those means, no, but looking up to him to give the blessing upon those means. That is the biblical way. But let us sing 286, stanzas 1 and 5. He waters the hills with rain from the skies, and plentiful grass and herbs he supplies, supplying the cattle and blessing man's toil with bread in abundance, with wine and with oil. 1 and 5 of Psalter 286. When the Lord Jesus, he says here, labor not for the meat which perisheth, and he is making a comparison with what? With laboring for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. That is our second thought. Why do we need the Lord?
Why did we need him on prayer day when we came up unto the house of the Lord? Did we need him only for all the temporal things? Or did we need him for more than that? He knows our motives. He knows why that we seek him. Ye seek me because. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. There is so much food in our storehouses now. For this life. That is why we have a day of thanksgiving. But if that is now the only reason that we seek the Lord, that is to be filled with natural good, then the Lord Jesus gives us a little rebuke. A little rebuke. He is so gentle, is he not? Thy gentleness hath made me great. Labor, he says, for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Endureth. What does that mean? It is not perishable. It does not go bad. And if there is something, children, if there is something that is not blessed to your heart today in that word of God, oh, then maybe tomorrow in that same portion that you can read it in the Word of God, and maybe tomorrow then you will receive a blessing from the Lord. But do you know what we need? We need to be weaned. We need to be weaned from all the things that are temporal. By what? By gentle rebukes from the Lord. And not only gentle rebukes, but also encouraging promises that are coming out of the mouth of the Lord. And if we do not receive profit by these things, then we indeed, we will perish. We will die for want. We will die of hunger. And that forever. Everlasting life. A meat which endureth unto everlasting life, that giveth everlasting life, that sustaineth everlasting life. Indeed, it must be labored for. That means there must be pains. Pains, they are required to receive it. We are not yet released from that curse in paradise. Cursed because of our sin. When the Lord, he has cursed the ground and said that that shall not bring forth her strength unto you. It is still in the sweat of our face that we have to eat our bread, our natural bread. But if you ask God's children, then they will tell you that that is also for their spiritual bread. That does not come easy. That is just not found each and every day. No, then there is labor that is required that people may receive it. And the Lord Jesus, he says, labor for that meat. What does he do? He makes a connection. If it's a labor for the meat of this world, then it's a connection between labor and receiving the meat of this world. And now he says, labor for that meat. And then he speaks about spiritual meat. Thus he connects labor to receiving spiritual meat. That is labor using the means, in order that you may eat and drink that spiritual food. It does not say, just sit and wait, young people, because you cannot do anything anyway, that is mocking the true doctrines, the precious doctrines of the Word of God. It is not what the Word of God says. The Lord Jesus, he says, labor for that meat. That is our responsibility. Is that responsibility of man then somehow inconsistent with the sovereignty of God, that God gives that to whomsoever when he will? In order that we have to look, as we hear sometimes, well, you have to have the right balance, they say, young people. You have to balance the responsibility of man with the sovereignty of God. And when you hear it, I hope you have a question mark in your mind. What is that? That there has to be a balance. It is not a balancing act. The sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man, they are not over against one another. They are not antagonistic to one another. No, they are perfectly suitable to one another. Is your labor in the fields, is your plowing, is your sowing, is your reaping, is that antagonistic to the sovereignty of God to give rain and sunshine? No, you say those two, they fit perfectly together. The Lord, he has himself instituted it in that way, that will be the means by which you will receive food and drink. And when you are laboring in your field, then you are not saying, well, I have to be careful, then there has to be a certain balance, then I have to go only... No. Then Solomon, he says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And that is what you are doing. You are working as hard as you can, and in your heart you are weeping because you have sinned against him. And in your heart you are praying, Lord, wilt thou forgive all my iniquity? And you are looking up by times, and you are asking, Lord, wilt thou undeservedly bless the labors of my hands? Oh, the responsibility of man, the sovereignty of God, and they are the most intimate friends, one with the other. And it is the Lord himself who has made it in such a way. The NRC, they are sometimes blamed. They are called hyper-Calvinistic. To say that you preach the sovereignty of God at the expense of the responsibility of man, as if there is some kind of balance necessary. But it is not true. There is one thing we do, young people. There is one thing that we do, and we will confess to that, and we will hold to that. And that is that we will never make the responsibility of man to be his ability to respond. Responsibility. And man want to make it that man is therefore able, ability, he is able to give a spiritual response. And that is what man today wants to make the responsibility of man. And indeed that is what is conflicting with the sovereignty of God. Indeed, if God has to have a part and man has to have a part, then there needs to be a balance, and it is false. It is a work, it is a doctrine that comes out of hell. O young people, listen closely and read closely that precious word of God, because man has lost his spiritual ability in paradise. It is our own fault. We have fallen dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins. And that does not release us from our real responsibility. We only need to say what it is. What is it? It's our accountability. We are accountable. Why? Because God did not make us this way. God made us with a good disposition, not an evil disposition. What does Paul say? He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. For, he says, it is God that worketh in you to do according to his good pleasure. That is why he says, work it out. Do we do that, young people? In his goodness, then those pains that the Lord Jesus, he speaks about here, laboring for that meat that endureth to everlasting life. He says he attaches a promise to the pains that you will take. No promise to your sloth that only gets condemnation. A promise to the pains of labor. Labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. There is the promise of the Lord upon the sweat of your face for all those who labor between the cradle and the grave. That promise is connected to those means. It is not as if those means can earn us anything. No, they are full of sin. They are full of shortcomings. We don't earn anything when we put our seed in the field either. No, that is not for earning anything. But we are still depending upon the rain and on the sunshine. That free gift of God. That is now what our text says. Which the Son of Man shall give unto you despite all your sin, despite all your unworthiness. Thus he is the giver. And they are his own words. To whom? To whom? To a people who had the wrong motive. Came to him, they followed him over the sea, they took boats. But he said, you are not seeking me with the right motive. This people that came full of shortcomings in their seeking of the Lord, then he gave them a promise. And he says, if you will but turn it about, or if you would but labor in your life, or what now will I not give unto you? I gave you yesterday the natural meat, the natural meat. And today I would give unto you the spiritual meat. I have the ability to give it because I am that gift myself. What did he say of himself? Except ye shall eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and ye shall drink his blood, ye have no life in you. By nature, we have no desire for that meat. Only desire for the meat for this life. Or we seek that. We take pains for it. But we have no pains to take for that meat that endureth. But what does he do? He seeks to draw these people away. Or he seeks to point them away
away from all the things that are in this world, and he is pointing them up. He points them up unto home. He points them up even to his Father. Oh, he draws them with a promise. Is that not something, children? Sometimes your father, your mother, they will draw you to do something by giving you a promise. They say, if you do it, I will give you this. That is now what the Lord does. He said, if you will labor, if you will give it some sweat, as it were, if you will seek it with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give it unto you. And then he assures them of it. How does he do that? Listen. He says, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Remember what a seal is, boys and girls? We've talked about that before, right? A seal. If you have a birth certificate, you can ask your mother or father if they can. You can see that. And there's a seal on it. Comes from the government, that high body. And then you know that it is truly from the government and not a fake one. Now, what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, him hath God the Father sealed. That is, God is the one who has given. My Father is the one who has given me as the true meat and drink of life eternal. He has made me to be the food, to be the sustenance, to be the life of that true church of God. By me that church is fed. By me that church that is sustained. They cannot live without me. No, they depend each and every day on my free grace. Of my sovereign grace, they feed upon me. They must labor for it. Indeed, they have to labor for it in the sweat of their face. And when they do not, oh, then he will withdraw himself. So you do not need me. You don't need to eat. Then I withdraw myself. And then they have to come there again upon their knees. And they have to make confession in order that he may give to them once again a little bit of food. And then they find out what Paul says, that their labor, that is not in vain in the Lord. And then there is not one of the people that will not say on that last day, in all the labors of their hands, that this was not the gift of God, congregation, Thanksgiving Day. Great, great, great are the blessings that the Lord has given to us and unto our children. He has watched over us thus far. He has blessed us in great abundance now. Ye seek me. Because labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us out of thy word that we may not go in the wrong way, but that we may be led by thee, by thy Spirit, and that we may receive that coveted blessing. Oh, give us to covet it with all our heart, and that we might seek thee while thou art to be found. Oh, humble us this day. Send us away with a little thought, some good thoughts of thee. Oh, give that in this week, that we may meditate upon all those blessings, that we might see, that we might feel something of the temporariness of all things, and that we do labor for the meat that perisheth, that we may be drawn to the things eternal, where thou dost sit at the right hand of the Father. Lord, draw our hearts, seek us out, put away the devices of the devil, and wilt thou draw us that we might run after thee. Humble our hearts also for thy help, given unto us in this hour. Spare each and every one, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 94, stanzas 2 and 3. Lord, thou preservest man and beast, since thou art ever kind. Beneath the shadow of thy wings, we may a refuge find. 2 and 3 of Psalter 94.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.